Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
This is about a evil genius in love.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again. It's almost worth it.
Hello, hello, friends and neighbors. It's me, your little podcast buddy, Dave Slusher. And this is the Evil Genius Chronicles for March 30th, 2008. This is show number 222, which is, I guess, a third of the beast. I don't know what third it is, but that's what it is. Let's get right to the business. This show is Creative Commons licensed, non-commercial attribution. The music you're hearing is by the Gentle Readers. They're at gentlereaders.com. Buy everything they have ever put out and you will be a happier, better person. The show is typically not work safe, typically not kid safe. Forewarned is forearmed.
I forgot. Bandwidth by Cashfly.
And please forgive me for any kind of audio setup burbles. This is the first show on my new MacBook and things are just enough different that I spent about, half an hour just now trying to get the levels right on the music. So that's the kind of morning it's been so far. But I'll do my best to neither blast out ears nor be inaudible or any of that kind of nonsense. First, let's get to some serious business right off the bat. I'm going to play you a promo, and hopefully the levels are right on this. We shall see. For the conference that I'm doing. Let me turn this off because it's got its own music. And this, I published this in my regular podcast feed on Friday. So if you do a show and you want to use this promo in your show, by gum, go to it. That's what it's all about. That's why I published it. So here we go. This is my promo for our conference that we're putting together. Hi, I'm Dave Slusher, and I want to tell you about a conference I'm helping with. It's called Create South, and it will happen April 19th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the historic train depot in downtown Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Unlike a lot of conferences, we'll have a strong emphasis on mentoring and hands-on sessions in blogging, podcasting, video, and more. We're shooting for a good mix of those experienced in new media with the interested newbies, as we found that's a great way to get everyone's enthusiasm at the highest. No matter your experience level, there will be something for everyone. Best of all, it's two blocks from the beach, so bring your family and make a big weekend of it. Registration is free, so there's no reason not to. The website is at createsouth.org. Get more information, register, come and spend the day with us, and most of all, get out there and create. You hear what the man's telling you? Get out there and create. So you ought to do some of that. And you know what? While we're on that, let me just go ahead and get right to our first song, which is by somebody who's involved with the conference, lives here in Myrtle Beach, and I'm trying to get him to do a session. He's a little iffy on it. I want him to do a session on recording, recording, promoting, and getting your own CD or album or your music out there. And we'll see if we can talk him into that. I'm working on it. And this would have been a lot more, originally this show was going to have been done last week when it would have been Easter Day when I recorded it, and the show would have fit a lot better, but and the song would have fit with the show better. This is Chris Yale from his album Well Enough Alone with Roll Away the Stone.
Yourself a steady job, or you could go down east of Eden if you ain't too proud to rob. You could roll away the gone. The CFP is really gone. You could leave well enough alone. You could roll. So much simpler than way back when. You had it made, you had it figured out. But it's getting cold these days, the doubt and fear just blows away the time. You could dance around compassion. Maybe figure what the heck. You might move beyond religion to take that yoke off of your neck. Yeah. You could roll away the storm. CFP is really gone.
That was Chris Yale, a man I'm proud to call my friend, and from his album Well Enough Alone, which if you notice was, that was the song that was the source of the title of the album, that was Roll Away the Stone. And like I said, it would have originally been played on Easter had I not had a meltdown that led to no show on Easter, so thus it's the week after Easter. So on the agenda here, let me go straight to the nerdy stuff. I'm kind of reordering on the fly here. Two weekends ago, we took a long weekend. By long weekend, it means we took 3 days, which ain't that long a weekend. I could have stood longer. It was my wife's spring break, and so I took a vacation day, and we went up to Raleigh, North Carolina. And really, we just did... It was really just kind of an urban vacation in that we went there, and we mostly just did things we can't do in our town. You know, we went to Cheesecake Factory, and we went to pizza places they don't have up there. And we went to a mall and shopped at stores they don't have down here. And amongst those stores is an Apple store. And we had worked out a deal. Actually, we had had a deal where I was given the green light to upgrade my iBook last tax season based on how much. That was my last year where I had contractor consultant income. It was like 50-50 because I had started an actual employee job in the middle of the year. And so by the time we straighten out all the taxes, if we don't owe more than, you know, I still had a little money left in my contractor account. I said, if that is not cleaned out by the taxes to the point where you have enough left for a computer, buy a computer. As it turned out, it went the opposite way. We actually got money back. So we went from having a little bit of money there to having, you know, even more money. And I was given the green light for the computer last year, and I opted not to do it. And that turned out to have been a really great move, because for approximately the same price and waiting 1 year, and at the year I didn't mind waiting because, you know, I had not yet really begun to chafe at the old 2004-era iBook. Upgraded to the MacBook. And because my wife gets an educational discount, I just went to the top of the line of the lower line, right? So the top MacBook, which is the black one, two processors, 250 gig hard drive, all that kind of stuff. And it really was only $100 more than the next one if you consider we got the educational discount. All good. All cool. And now there will be a rotation where I'm going to, at some point when I feel good about the migration, I'm going to wipe the old iBook. That becomes my wife's computer. Now, so this is a little under 4 years that that particular computer has been in service. Now, it depends on who you are. Now, think about that. 4 years. Does that seem to you like a long time between upgrades or a short time between upgrades? Because, let me tell you, that is the shortest. Now, it's not like it's going out of service, but that's the shortest cycle time we've ever had in upgrading computers. We have, ultimately, when the rotation is done, that's going to take the place of my computer, my wife's orange iBook that I'm shaky on the year we got it. I think it was 1999. So that computer has been in service 9 or 10 years, maybe even 11, somewhere in that vicinity, but, you know, around hovering around the decade mark. I have, you know, a computer sitting under my desk that I've had for 7 years, which I bought used, by the way. And, so we tend to use the hell out of these sons of bitches. The one PC that I have, 2000 era computer that actually I got, it was given to me, you know, as a work computer. And when they fired me, they let me keep it. It feels almost ostentatious. It feels opulent for me to only upgrade a 4-year-old computer. Now, I know that's probably not the way the average consumerist American thinks, but for us that is. And so, you know, when I gave him a little apology at the top of the show, here's the biggest thing that I have found so far is that in the QuickTime, so now I'm on 10.5, and I still cannot remember what big cat that is. Is that Leopard? Is that Tiger? Is that Jaguar? It's very easy to tell which number comes after another. I know that 10.5 is the version after 10.4. I don't know that Tiger is the cat after Bobcat. You know, I really hate the Tiger naming convention because I never know where I am. But regardless, I have 10.5 on this brand new machine. And the QuickTime is enough different that there's not a smooth slide. You can't, when you open the thing with the volume slider, and the previous versions, you used to be able to expand that as wide as the screen, which gave you really fine control. And now you can't, which is why when you hear me fade the gentle readers down, it might be kind of chunky. I think I need something different than using QuickTime, because it's so hard to get it to where it's audible but not too loud with this version. I mean, that's what took me half an hour, is I trying to figure out, you know, do I take the Mac computer volume down? But it's a big pain in the ass, and probably of interest to no one but me. But other than that, everything about this computer is just so nice. And I can remember feeling kind of like I got kicked in the stomach when I heard that Apple was going to the Intel processors. Now, bear in mind, too, I'm a former Intel employee. And, you know, I thought, oh. Because for all these years, they had sold me on why the PowerPC was a better chip than the Intel. And I believed it. And so I kind of bought into that propaganda. And then they go to Intel, and now it's all why the Intel is better than the PowerPC. And you know what? It is better than the PowerPC, I think. Which means that, essentially, they've been lying to me since, you know, 1994 about how great it is when they went to this other chip. So, nice going, Apple. You've proven yourself a liar to me for a decade and a half. But what I really like is being able to open... I'm using VMware Fusion, and now I can run online poker applications that don't have a Mac client, only Windows. And that, my friends, that rocks. That really rocks. But one of the things that happened while I was setting this up, and I actually need to make a phone call to the Mac Geek Gab, because I had a few technical things happen. But my next kind of topic is self-loathing, which I don't know. I honestly don't know if it comes across or not, but I am riddled with it. I mean, I think I probably do a pretty good job of disguising that in general and not letting that necessarily be the public face of me. But man, there is a whole lot of time that I just friggin' hate myself. That I think, God, how can anyone be as dumb as to do or not do the stupid shit that this guy does? This guy being me. And it kind of happened when I was setting this up. You know, I downloaded the VMware Fusion. And then I needed... everything was ready, and I needed the XP install disk. And I had kind of cadged, because I seldom, if ever, pay for anything like this. Like last fall, I had gotten an XP install disk to upgrade my old PC. I know this disk is in my office. And it took me something like between 1 and 2 hours to find it. And I was so angry at myself just for being just such a fuck up. I mean, you know, when I was 14 years old, I just felt like a fuck up teenager. And you know, I'm 40 years old and I still feel like a fuck up teenager. I feel like I'm this close to just letting everything crash at any point. I'm disorganized. This is why all the GTD, getting things done, productivity porn really hits me, because that's it, like, it's my dream vision of myself. You know, there's I like a good chunk of stuff about me, but I hate that part of me so much that if you could just make that part good, I'd have a really good self-image, you know? But the, you know, forgetting to make the phone calls, which I'm always getting yelled at about. I've always just missed something, or, you know, for somebody who is pretty liquid, I mean, you know, I think we've said this before, we've got, I don't know what our cash reserves are at this point, but it is, if we both lost our jobs, we have at least, I think, a year and a half, probably better. So it's not like we have any cash flow problems whatsoever. And yet, at times, we're on the edge of missing payments on things because we, like, lose it in a stack of mail, forget to, you know. We have one of those little boxes with 31 slots that actually, until we did that, we were actually much worse. So people with money in the bank are, like, missing, you know, or late, or a couple days late on the mortgage payment just because of sheer disorganization. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's funny because my wife tells me that I am the most ridiculously self-confident person she's ever met, which I actually take as a, I'm not sure if it's meant as a compliment, but I take it as such. Considering that, you know, when I was the basket case teenager that I was, I had zero confidence. And so I've sort of molded that confidence out of nothing because I didn't used to have it. But then I just look at whatever simple thing that I have just screwed up and I think, God, how can any normal adult person make that mistake? How can things this simple be so hard? And I just want to slam. I wish I were someone else so I could kick my own ass sometimes. You know, I just want to pop me. You know, Fight Club style. I just want to pop me. I just want to, you know, hit my head against the table sometimes. Like, come on, wake up, get your head in this game. Am I alone on this? Do other people feel this way? For a man in his middle age, a lot of times I just feel like I need adult supervision. It's like, I wish my... You know, and bear in mind, too, my dad was not particularly good at these sorts of things when he was alive. Hell, he was probably worse than I am. And yet, I just sort of wish my dad was around. Because I don't want to be responsible for it all. If you know what I mean. So let me go ahead and leave this topic and go on to, this is going to be a three-songer. I used to always do three songs, and I kind of went to the two-song format. Today we'll go back to the three songs, because I got a couple really good songs. I just want to play them all. This is from the Siderunners. They toured America in fall of 2006, and I, for very similar things that I just was talking about, they played Wilmington, North Carolina, which is like 50 miles from here. I mean, it's about an hour, maybe a little more than an hour's drive, depending on what part of town the club was in. They played the Tuesday after I got back from the Podcast Expo in 2006. I thought it was the Wednesday after the Podcast Expo. So Wednesday morning, I'm getting up and I'm getting ready for work, and I pull up the Siderunner site, I said, I want to see what club they're playing and then go look at it just so, you know, and call the thing and make sure of all the times and everything so I can get there tonight. And when I look at the site, I realize they played there last night. What a fuck up. And worst of all, Nate Van Allen told me that was the best show of the tour. It's the one that I could have gone to easily, got my days wrong, and missed it. Yuts. But now here's what they're doing is they appear to be doing kind of Pearl Jam style. They're just putting up all the MP3s from shows of that tour, which I really, really dig. So I think that's so cool that I can't possibly let this go by without playing one of the songs. So this is a song. I'm pretty sure I've played the album version of this one before, but this is a live version. It was recorded in Atlanta on that tour. And this is the Siderunners live doing Kickin' the Caboose.
Well, you're out in Texas, your body just can't keep. Ran around it as a limb and self. Left all the alcohol and your ex-husband's job. Keeps me up all night awaiting. This time, no hesitating. Guess I have to cut you loose. One final kick in the caboose. Inside of Memphis on Memphis Presley Drive. In 2 short hours I'm miles away from you. In your black stretch pants, your crackhead chicken dance. Oh, up all night of feeding. These words have a double meaning. Gin on the rocks of the Jews. One final kick in the compass. Trailer tail, or cheesy press on nails. Keeps you warm at night, laughing. Is it the smoke or this old cabin? Thicker than the butcher's Christmas goose. One final kick in the caboose.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're quite welcome there. Thank you, Siderunners. Long-time friend of the show. They were early on in the gig. They were ones to give me permission to use their music back in, hell, probably 2004 when no one knew what the hell we were doing here. Most of us probably still don't know what the hell we're doing here. And, yeah, all good. All good. The Siderunners. So, For a band that only put out a single self-published album, they've had a lot of impact on me. So I really, really dig that band, always will. May they record new songs someday. That would be awesome. All right, my friends, go on to another topic. And I almost feel like maybe I have hammered this so much that I shouldn't talk about this, but I just feel like it seems to be looming large, and that's just like the general topic of money. And so I've talked many times about, what seems to me to be the importance of living cheap, and how a lot of the emerging aesthetic of the cyber culture, you know, the people who live a big chunk of their life online, such as me, for example, Make Magazine is a big contributor to this. kind of making it cool to live a little cheaper, which I like. I mean, I think that's a good way to be. And I got into a little bit of a fracas on Twitter one time where I was talking about how I think that really bad economic times are looming, and I think it would be better for people to hang on to more of their money. The question is, would a because I think, you know, we're on the cusp of, or perhaps even over the slippery slope, and it's irrevocable that we're going to have a depression. And this is not, this is shock no one, right? We typically have depressions on an 80 to 90 year cycle, and we're due. It is that time. Various forces make this happen. I'm no economist, or else I would be more a little more specific and a little less vague. But then the question was, does the depression happen if people get scared and start saving their money? And I don't think that that's possible, really. Unless you're saving your money by putting it under a mattress, it's still in the economy, right? So if you take that money and you buy a computer like I just did, or you take it and you put it in your, you know, brokerage account and invest in something, either way, that money's kind of still in the economy circulating, right? So I just don't know the ins and outs of all that stuff. But it just seems more and more important to me to kind of live cheaper. And here's the thing that always gets me is, so now we've dialed it back more and more, to where, you know, we really don't have that much nice stuff per se. I mean, everyone I know, the 23-year-old kids at work have nicer cars than me and nicer TVs and all the stuff. Of course, they have no money. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. They'll have nicer stuff than me. I went over to the apartment to a party of some of the younger people that worked there, and their apartment was full of crap. They had a giant plasma screen TV and an Xbox and a PlayStation and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm thinking, man, I don't have any of that stuff. On the other hand, what I do have is, you know, years worth of breathing room if I ever need it. And I've just, for me personally, that years of breathing room is just so much more important than the stuff. Oh my God, there's no comparison. Then I just kind of wonder, I actually feel a little like maybe I shouldn't have bought this MacBook. Something I can easily afford, but I'm thinking, God, maybe I just shouldn't buy it. I've gotten to this point where I almost just don't want to spend money. Where I just kind of, it's like, I don't really want to do anything with my money. I don't know, maybe it's pathological. But here's what I really worry is, so that I live, you know, we live like Boy Scouts, right? We don't, we squander very little, compared to the average American. And then the economy just goes and takes a big shit and sucks everybody down. Already, you know, the dollar is, you know, half as valuable as it was a couple of years ago. So now, having saved our money, you know, done everything right, are we still going to be in the same shit as everybody else? That's the part that really kind of sticks in my craw. It's like, oh, we will do everything right and still end up right back with everybody else that's doing stuff wrong. That's why, on the one hand, I get kind of this notion about, like, not foreclosing on the mortgages. On the one hand, you know, I kind of understand that it makes sense when, you know, all of a sudden 5 or 10% of all houses are in foreclosure. It just kills everything, right? It kills the housing market. It kills the mortgage market. On the other hand, I know a lot of people, or I've seen, and Atlanta was horrible for this, people that get into these really nice houses that are just way over their heads. And yes, the mortgage companies are, you know, were pushing loans above what people could afford. They relaxed their standards. At the same time, people should have known that they couldn't really afford this. If you've got, you get you a nice McMansion in Buckhead, Atlanta, and 40% of your income is going to paying an interest-only mortgage payment, you can't afford that house. That's plain and simple. That's more house than you can afford. Because we used to always wonder, we would see these people that were younger than us in these beautiful houses in Atlanta, and we think, man, what do they do? Are they from old money? I mean, how can they possibly afford that house? And we realize later on that they're in interest-only houses, which certainly made sense, you know, when every year everyone's house was worth 20% more. But now, like today, where suddenly the value of your house may go down some, and now automatically you're underwater, right? If you, value of your house loses 1%, all right, you owe more on that house than it's worth. So it will cost you money to sell that house. And so when I hear mortgage bailouts, I mean, that's part of what I'm thinking is, well, hell, that's a gift to these people who did the wrong thing. It's like, well, I don't like the economy just going completely belly up because of this. But I also don't like the idea of giving gifts to people who made the wrong decisions. So there's just nothing, you know, that's going to suit me in this, really, because I'm just mad at every end of it. I'm mad at the lenders, I'm mad at all the people, I'm mad at the free market, you can't see my air quotes, free market Republicans who've been wanting to deregulate everything. Of course, it ain't a free market when the going gets tough and you give a $200 billion gift to Bear Stearns. I don't see how that's really that free a market. I've always hated this. You know, when I was a very young adult, was when the savings and loan bailout, which, who presided over that? Oh, was that Neil Bush, the president's brother, who presided over that savings and loan bailout? When I always hate these bailouts of large banking entities that they make risky investments. And when they make profits, the profits are theirs. And when they take big losses, those are public. Everyone bears that. And God damn, that just makes me mad. So, you know, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I was going to talk a little about podcasting as an industry. But, you know, that's another one I've hit so many times, I don't know. But I think, I really fear that all the people who are quitting their day jobs to be pro podcasters, oh my God, this feels like the wrong time to do that. I worry that in 12 months, be a lot of people crawling back to their old bosses saying, oh my God, please let me back in. Because I think when we really hit the skids, and I don't think it's an if, I think it's a when, things like that will be the absolute first thing. The first canoes to swamp will be people and stuff like that. And you know, I don't really want my friends and compatriots and colleagues to get hurt in this, so man, keep your financial ruindar highly sensitive and highly tuned, because I worry about all y'all that are doing this. If you're not already financially free, independently wealthy, you may have some tough sledding, so please, please, please be careful. All right, let's play our last song and get the hell out of this shindig. This is an unreleased track from Jill Sobule. I'm almost certain that I saw her do this live. I've seen Jill live only the one time. Jill's been on my mind because of her Jill financed my album, whatever, the jillsnextalbum.com maybe, where she raised 75, she was shooting for 75 grand, raised I think 82 grand to record an album. I saw her only one time when she was the opening act for the late great Warren Zevon. Great show. They did Jackson together, the Johnny and June Cash song. Just great. But I'm pretty sure that she sang this song during that performance. And I have a little script that Jill has a site. Jill's website has a little page with MP3s that you can download. And I have a script every night that goes to check to see if there's something new and downloads it. So I don't have to remember to go back. I'll always get whatever song she puts up there. And this one came down. I think I saw her do this live. Unreleased demo. And it sounds kind of like a demo, and yet it's a great song. This is Jill Sobule, with the gingerly titled Don't Fuck With Me.
Don't fuck with me. I'm handing you my beating heart. You can listen, you can see, you can touch, but don't fuck with me. Don't lie to me. I know every trick you play. I can read a poker face. If you were smart, you won't lie to me. 'Cause I would run so fast. I could be so cool. I know I'm not very brave, but I'll be no dumb fool. Don't you hurt me. I give my right eye for you, but I will not be blind for you. I like excitement, but don't you hurt me. Don't lie to me, and don't fuck with me.
Ah, oh, there you go. There's something wonderful about hearing Jill's gentle voice sing songs like that. I just love, but it's got there's a lyric in there that just, I think, is as good as it gets when she says that I would give my right eye for you, but I won't be blind for you. Oh my God, what else is there more to say than that? So, unreleased demo from Jill Sobule. JillSobule.com. You can go. She's got, I think there's always 4 MP3s up there of whatever ilk. Some album stuff, some live stuff, some demos. So, I actually forgot to give my money to Jill Sobule. Let's get back to the first topic. So, Disorganized, I forgot to give my money to that Get Jill's Next Album Recorded.com. And I meant to and just didn't because I'm a fuck-up. So, there you go. If you want to leave feedback on how I'm a fuck-up and how you're a fuck-up too, you can send it to dslusher@gmail.com. You can leave comments at evilgeniuschronicles.org. You can download a copy of the Create South promo at evilgeniuschronicles.org. You can go to createsouth.org. That's our website for our conference. You can come and spend a Saturday with you, and we will feed you, my friends, chicken bog, the delicacy of this part of the country. I swear to God, it'll be there. So that's it. Let's get out of here. I will catch you again next time. Dave Slusher, Evil Genius Chronicles, out.